Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Feeling good? You sure? All right. Put a big smile on your face there, would you? Come on, try that. Yeah, smile. Okay, we'll work on that. Okay, good to see you this morning. Let me just say as we start here this morning that we are blessed above all people on this planet to live in this country. Are we not? We have the freedom to meet here this morning, and there are people around the globe that do not have this freedom, but we have this freedom, and we should cherish it and make the most of it. And just remember this morning, the mission is to worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, to the very best of our ability. Would you say that that's not our mission this morning? Is that your mission? Amen. You don't sound very convinced about that. Yeah, that's our mission, isn't it? Well, that's what we're going to do today. Let me just give you a couple of quick announcements. First off, we have here that we're pleased to announce that Alex Bailey has agreed to another six-month term. And yes. And Alex has also agreed that I can assist him in singing. Okay, maybe I made that up. Okay. Okay, maybe not. Let me just simply say that we want to remind you, if you'll look on your announcements, want to encourage you to give. Give because you want to give. Don't give financially because you have to give. Give joyfully. Give hilariously, the scripture says. Give because you want to, but you can see there's several ways to give here. You can do it on Sunday morning. You can do it online. But we want to encourage you to do that. And for those who do on a consistent basis, thank you, thank you, thank you. Did I say thank you? Thank you. Yeah, we want to encourage you to give, not because you have to, but because you want to, but also not only to give financially, but give of your time, give of your talent. Give to the Lord everything that you are because He gave us everything that's most important. While we're talking about giving, I also want to make sure I talk to you about, I had talked to Darlene about a new fund that we're setting up here, and it is called the Smiley European Mission / Vacation Fund. I will be going to Europe and praying and stuff as I visit sites, and you can support that. And I have tried this in every church I've been in. And would you believe to date in the churches I've been, there's just a goose egg in every fund. I never get a dime. But you can change that. Just think of that. You can start that even today. Ah, okay, I'm just kidding. Thing is, we want you to give because you love the Lord. Give because you love Him. Thank you for being here today. Let me also mention that next week, boy, this is really not good. I'm going to be preaching here for the next couple of weeks about these good news community groups. And we want to encourage you to get involved in those. You'll have opportunity to sign up beginning next week. But I'd like to share with you what that's all about. Some people have asked me, is this like a Bible study? Yes. Is this like a care group? Yes. But it's a lot more than that. It's an opportunity. And really, I think it's when the church comes together, gets together in small groups, it's an opportunity for your life to change. It's an opportunity for life transformation. It's an opportunity for people to enjoy one another and really get to know each other a little more. And we'll be talking about that a little more. And you'll also find out that as being a part of it, it's actually being a part of fulfilling the purposes that God has given to you as an individual and us as a church and every church to accomplish. And we'll be talking about that next week, so hopefully you'll be here for that. Would you bow with me as we go to the Lord for prayer? If you are a guest, then we do have in the pews there a connect card. If you are a regular here and if you would like to put a prayer request, or you're a guest and you would like to put a prayer request on there, you can do that. If you want to update your records here, if you've been here a long time, but maybe your address has changed, your phone number's changed, email has changed, you can put that on there and change that. But if you are a guest today, we have a gift for you. It's a little coffee mug, and I would love for you to simply fill this out, and I will be standing at the back. Back there, there will be the little place there where you can come, and I'll be glad to collect these from you. And if you are a guest, we'll be glad to give you one of those mugs. So would you bow with me as we continue to worship our great God and Savior this morning? Our Father, we do love you. Father, we are absolutely dependent upon you. Forgive us even this day, for this week, when we have not been mindful of you, where we have followed our agenda and not yours. Lord, this morning we ask that you will enable us, help us, motivate us to worship you well in the songs we sing and as we hear from you, from your word. Lord, I pray that you will be before us this morning, that you would place your hand upon him and help him to relay your truth to your people. And help us, Lord, to want to take it and use it, to chew upon the word of God so that we can know you better and live for you more. Lord, we pray that your blessing will rest upon this nation as this nation walks in step with you. Lord, we pray that you will minister into the hearts of the people who lead our country at a national, state, and local level. And Lord, we pray that your spirit would move not only in this country but around the world so that people's hearts and minds can be changed. Many who are walking further and further away from you. Lord, help each of us to be motivated to be vehicles to communicate your truth through our lives and through our lips. Even this coming week, Lord, speak to us today afresh. We praise you. We come to honor you. Help us in that endeavor this morning, we pray. In the matchless name of our King, our God, our friend, Jesus Christ, in his name we pray. And all God's people said together, amen.
Good morning. Good morning. If you don't know, my name is Charlie Reibenstein. And this today is Missions In Touch Day at Redeemer. I represent part of a group of people known as the Missions Leadership Team who get together once a month and pray for our missionaries. Today, I want to let you know that there is an opportunity we're praying about to come up this summer to possibly go to Hungary for a few people, 2 to 4 people. Word of Life in Hungary, the camp this summer is looking for 2 to 4 people from us if the Lord touches your heart. We would ask that you would pray about this sincerely because there is an opening. I had the privilege of going, excuse me, it still touches my heart, for 14 years to minister to these kids. We still keep contact with some of them many, many years later. What a blessing it is to go and to play with these kids, to teach these kids baseball, volleyball, basketball. English. Janet went for 8 years to go because she was called. Called is a word that we were. God put upon our hearts to go to share with these kids, not just to play baseball, not to just teach English, but to share our lives with them. Jesus Christ is our life. We get to share Jesus with them. Next week after the service, there'll be a few of us in the fellowship hall to see what your interest might be. Would you please join us then? And we'll remind you next week about it as well. It's about 15 or 20 minutes time that you can understand what we were doing there and understand how God is working there. It's an amazing thing to see whenever you play with the kids all week. Each night they're learning something about where they are with the Lord. And then they're given an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. you see some of those kids that will come up after they've made a decision for Christ. You've been playing with them all week. You've been loving on them, and they love you. They truly do. They love to learn to speak English, to talk English, to play sports with us. But most of all, they love to be introduced to Jesus. These kids have never heard Jesus before. And now they have. And you can do it too. And so we're calling you. The Lord is calling you, knocking on your door. And say, would you come? Would you do this? Come find out more about it next week. Believe me, the fields are ripe for harvest.
And amen. Good morning, Redeemer. Why don't y'all stand to your feet with me as we begin worship together?
Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God.
Come on.
All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, is found in you. There is freedom. In your presence we are made whole.
Sing it out.
In your presence there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. Found in you, Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you, found in you. Oh, oh, oh.
morning, church.
Good morning.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, this is our meet and greet time, but I don't want you to run across the sanctuary. Talk to the people close to you, and I want you to look them in the eye, and I want you to shake their hand or hug them, however you want to do it, and I want you to tell them, we are better together. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but that's a way to get you started. We are better together.
Let us all together return to our seats, please, but remain standing. Thank you.
Yeah, all right.
In the opening passages of Psalm 86, David asks his Lord to hear and guard him, to be merciful, and to extend his joy. David's trust is in a God who gives grace to the humble and promises to lift them up in due time. Psalm 86, starting in verse 1. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. This is God's word of reassurance to us this morning.
Amen. Thanks, Brian. Let's dive back into worship together. Coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. His broken ox declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion. The Lion of Judah, he's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion. Open up the gate, make way before the King of Kings. A God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. In fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion.
Stop the Lord.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Y'all sing it out.
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting.
Holy, holy,
Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth.
No matter what you're going through this morning, I pray that you'd be able to surrender that to Christ. Just bow it down at His feet right now. In acknowledgement of who He is and how good He is. He's already paid for every sin, paid every debt. There's no need to walk around in shame. There's no need to walk around in darkness. Sometimes our feelings take a hold of us, though, and this world convinces us otherwise, but it just isn't true.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of in the light of His glory and praise. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion.
Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us this morning. Lord, I pray that if we're having trials and struggles, that we would run to you with everything before any other man, any other person, or even trying to shoulder it ourselves. I pray that we would bow down before you. Lord, this morning I pray that we would open our hearts to receive everything you have for us. And if there's anything there, any animosity, anything we're holding against a brother or a sister, I pray that we would lay that down too. that we would seek reconciliation, because that's what you want for us, and that we would be forgiving as you've forgiven us. Lord, I pray that you would be with Forrest as he brings forth your word this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Blessed are you who are downhearted,
tired and weary,
and in need of something more.
Blessed are you who have had a tough year or season,
perhaps filled with ups and downs,
sorrow and sadness, misery and mistakes.
You are not alone.
Blessed are you whose dreams have been interrupted,
stomped on, or perhaps just taking too long.
There is a new thing right around the corner.
Blessed are you who don't know what to believe or why you are here today.
But despite that, you keep pushing forward.
Blessed are you who are walking through seasons of prosperity and joy,
celebration and hope.
For you have found something truly worthy of sharing.
You see, sometimes life is just hard.
But blessed are those who seek the Lord in the midst of that darkness.
For there is hope.
Real, tangible hope found in Him.
So today,
may you be reminded that you were created on purpose and for a purpose.
May you know that God has big plans for you.
Plans to prosper you.
And not to harm you.
May you walk in truth and light so that no matter where you go,
you will have a light unto your path.
May you find rest free from anxiety.
And may His love, which is never ending,
and His grace, which is never failing,
follow you wherever you may go.
For He has come
to make all things new.
America has had the privilege of having a great many revivals. In her short history, America has been a country that has had a great deal of revival. One of the most prominent was the Great Awakening in the 1700s. And then about a thousand years later, the D.L. Moody showed up and he was doing revivals all over the country. And then even more in recent times, we have the Billy Graham Crusades where just sweeping the nation with the sense of God's movement in the lives of people through revival. And so America has really had that wonderful experience of having access to these revivals that have been going on. But a lot of people have noticed, and you may have also been in some ways that way yourself too, is just kind of, it seems like America is getting ready for another one of those times. You look at the things that are going on in our country, the despair, the distraught feeling that a lot of people in our culture feel, and you get this sense that something is coming. And the reality is that what those people need and what we need is we need to hear and respond to the simple message to turn to the Lord. That message is super relevant today. In our culture, there are people who have lived their life pursuing things or activities or just a way of life that they think will fill this hole inside of them. Some people reach out to drugs. Some people reach out to alcohol. Some people really reach out to various forms of pleasure. They reach out to success. There's an emptiness inside of them. They can't figure out what it is. And they try all these different things in their life to try to make it work. And it doesn't work. There are people who are in a spot in their life where they know the Lord is pushing them to go somewhere, to do something, to be someone, and they're fighting it. They don't want to do it. And it's not working because everything in the Lord is working in their life is saying, let's go here. And they're like, I don't want to go. And not only is our culture, but our church, the church in America, and to some degree, I believe it's actually true of our church here, people need to respond to the simple message, turn back to the Lord. It's a simple message. If you look at the message that Billy Graham would give on night after night, it was such a simple message. Turn back to the Lord. And I would venture to say that some of you I know, but for men, there are some people here in this room who need to hear, and not only hear, but they need to respond to that message to turn back to the Lord. And this morning what I want to do is we're going to look at, as we're returning to our study in the book of Joel, I want to look at how do we do that? And we're going to take a little bit of, this may be some unexpected turns. It was an unexpected turn for me, and I'll introduce that to you to that, and I think you'll find it's pretty interesting to think about. But we're going to talk about how do we turn back to the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Joel. Joel's in the Old Testament. It's towards the end of the Old Testament. It's in the Minor Prophets, towards the end of the Old Testament. And what we've been looking at is the prophet Joel has been speaking to he's been writing to the people of Israel about a locust plague that was it was a doozy. It was a bad locust plague. And what his comment has been to the Israelites is like, hey, the locust plague is bad, but it's being given to you now for a reason, because the Lord is trying to get your attention. He's trying to get you to turn back to Him. And so Joel kind of states his case. We talked about that last week, that the Lord is pursuing you. Turn back to Him. And now we're going to talk about how. How does a person turn back to the Lord? So we're going to be in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And Joel kind of lays out a pattern for the people of Israel in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And the first thing that we see in verse 15 is that we should return to the Lord. We should return to the Lord together. We should return to the Lord together. And this is something that's shocking in our mind, because being in America, we are very independent-minded. But this message would not have been strange to the people of Israel, because their culture was not an independent culture. People were used to doing stuff together. So in verse 15, it says, Joel tells them, he says, blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. The shofar was a horn that the Israelite people would use to either call people together for a feast or to let them know there was something going on. When you hear the shofar, it's kind of like what would be in a modern day, what we would get when your phone goes off and it goes beep, you know, that annoying sound. It's emergency broadcast thing. That's kind of what the shofar was. The shofar was a way to get everybody's attention in Jerusalem. Hey, something is going on. And so Joel says, hey, blow the horn in Jerusalem. The next phrase in the verse is this: announce a time of fasting. Even though fasting is the only thing that's mentioned here, oftentimes in this time period when there was the concept of fasting, it was fasting and prayer. They went hand in hand and they went together. And the idea is for people to give up food often, sometimes other things, but to give up food and to use the time that they would be eating and use their desire to have food to call out to the Lord to help them. And Joel says, hey, blow the trumpet, blow the horn, and call a fast. And the next part of the verse says, call the people together. Joel didn't say, hey, y'all, go home in your prayer closet and repent to the Lord. He says something different here. He says, call the people together. Let that sink in for a minute. The last part of the verse says, for a solemn meeting. For a meeting in what in their terms would be their church. It was a temple. It was a different time period. But he was saying, go out and blow the horn and tell everyone, come to what we would understand church. And this concept of repentance is something that is they're being instructed here to do this together. They're being instructed to come together as a group of people and repent, pray, and fast together. One of the things that's really interesting about modern culture is that we don't think about things in those ways. So when I read this over this past week, and maybe as you're hearing it now, I said, well, that's kind of odd. Why does it need to be together? A number of years ago, I read an article, and it stuck. The article has stuck with me for all of these years, because the guy that was writing the article, he was kind of skeptical of the crusades that Billy Graham was doing. And he knew enough about the crusade. He knew what was going to happen. Billy Graham was going to get up. He was going to preach. And at the end, he was going to call people to come forward. He knew, the writer of the article, he knew this. And so he went to the thing. And he was just, I want to see what's going on. And as he heard what Billy Graham had to say, he felt convicted. Now, if you've ever had a chance to listen to one of Billy Graham's messages, they're really simple. There's not a lot of pageantry. It's just a simple message. Hey, you, turn to the Lord. It's a really simple message. But this guy, the guy that was writing the article, he was sitting there and he felt convicted. And at the end of the service, he knew what was going to happen, and then it happened. And Billy said, hey, if you want someone to pray with you, come on up front. And he said, he watched as all these people came up front. And in the moment when that happened, his heart changed. Part of the dynamic is because we're social creatures. But part of it is God made us and he knows what's best for us. And so this man, although going into the crusade, that specific moment was a skeptic, his heart was touched. And he got up and he went forward. And it was the dynamic of what the message was, but it was also the dynamic of the people that were around him. And Joel is understanding that concept. The Holy Spirit is understanding that concept. And so what he's telling them is like, listen, your repentance needs to be with other people. It needs to be together. Now, that's not saying you shouldn't repent on your own. It's not saying you can't do that. You can do that anytime. The Lord will take your repentance anytime. But ideally, our repentance should be together. And let me make this a little bit, I want to challenge your thinking here. Let's say we're having a service, and it was a really great service, and it was a really simple message, turn to the Lord. And I said, hey, if you want to pray, come up front and pray. And you did that, and then somebody got out and actually came up front, and they wanted to change their life. That would affect you. It would. If you were to see something like that, that would affect you. Now, maybe you might think that this guy's crazy. Might be you think, like, man, I wonder what his life is. Whatever it is, but you couldn't have that experience happen and not affect you. And Joel understands that. So he said, that's why. Everybody come together. We're going to do this repentance thing, but I want it done together. Then in verse 16, he goes on to say, he calls them, and he says, your repentance should be timeless. Verse 16 says, gather all the people, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his quarters, and the bride from her private room. Gather all the people. And then he goes on and he lists two extremes. It's a merism. And what it is, it's by pointing out the extreme of low and high, talking about everybody in between. And so he says, gather all the people, the elders, the people that are old, and the children, even the little babies. And by saying, call all the people, the old people, and the young people, he's talking about everybody in between. He even says, call the bridegroom from his quarters and the bride from her private room. See, in their culture and in ours, there is a sense in which someone who is newly married, a newlywed, is kind of given some time off. Like they don't have to be involved in things. You know, they're getting their marriage situated. And at this time period, when a fast was called, when a feast was called, when a festival was called, the newlyweds in the community were allowed to bow out because they were newlywed. But Joel is saying here, even those people, get them here. Everybody, the little people, the old people, and everybody in between, even the people that just got married, bring them into the house for this area, for this aspect of repentance. And this is so critical because it's important for us to hear and to understand that the Lord is calling people to repentance at all ages. All ages. Unfortunately, there is a notion in some people's mind, especially here in America, that spirituality is something for little kids and it's something for old people. But it's not for people in their middle years. And this was going on in the 1700s with the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening was led by preachers, and they would preach and people would repent and they would come to the Lord. And then the people that were on the outside who didn't kind of like what was going on, they would criticize these pastors, these preachers. They're just targeting women. They're just targeting young women. They're targeting people who are uneducated. Now, it was intended to be a criticism because they didn't want to be a part of it or whatever. But they were presenting this mentality that, okay, this revival thing is just for young women. It's not for real people. It's just for young women. That was their criticism. And oftentimes what happens for us is we think that, well, I probably should get my right self right with the Lord. I probably should turn back to the Lord. I probably should do that, but I'm going to do that later in my life. I'm going to do it later. And Joel's message here is clear, is that turning back to the Lord is for everybody. It doesn't matter what your age is. It's not an age thing. It's not a time period of life thing. It's a life thing. What we maybe don't think about that often is that when someone comes to the Lord and turns their life over to the Lord, people of different ages see that differently. Now let's come back to our guy that comes down the aisle. If the guy that comes down the aisle is 80 years old, the people who are 80 years old that see that happen, they see that some way. They look at that and they say, wow, it took a lot of guts for that guy to do that after all these years. The younger people see that and it's like, that's amazing that a man who had been rebellious and all that for 80 years is now turning his life around. Everybody sees those kind of things differently based on their age. And we can't fall into the pattern of thinking, well, getting ourselves right with the Lord or turning back to the Lord is an age thing. It can't be an age thing. It's for everybody. We need to understand that God is calling people all ages back to himself. And don't allow people to feel like that's something you do at a certain time of life. It's for everybody. So how do we come back to the Lord? First of all, we need to understand that coming back to the Lord is something that is something that we do together. It needs to be done together. It's helpful if it's done together. But the second thing is it's timeless. It's not something that's age appropriate. It's something that can be done for everybody. And the last thing that we see as we look in the book of Joel is that turning to the Lord, turning back to the Lord is something we should do because it's a testimony of who God is and what he does. Turning back to the Lord is a testimony to other people. Verse 16 says this, "Let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. Let them pray, 'Spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, "Has the God of Israel left them?" Let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence, a person could be a priest, but they weren't necessarily always serving in the temple. So Joel is referring to the people who are serving in the temple at this time. He said, let those priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room to the temple and the altar. So the entry room between the temple, the grounds, and between the altar was a place where the priests were physically, what they were doing here is physically they were mediating between God and between the people. And so Joel is calling them to do what their job is. Their job is to mediate between people and the Lord. And so he says, let them stand in that place and let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke for unbelieving foreigners who say, has the God of Israel left them? These priests are then being called to this prayer. And this prayer is to be put forth on behalf of the people to the Lord, saying, Lord, don't let your people, don't let it be viewed by others that your people have been forgotten. Don't let other people look at, don't let the testimony of what you're doing here be something that indicates that you have left your people. And it conjures up the image that these people returning to the Lord, turning to the Lord is a testimony to the people around that God is working, that God is moving. And what they're being called to pray is that the testimony that's going is not the wrong message. He wants that message to be a message that is good, that tells people, no, God is moving. Last year in February, at Asbury College, there was a revival that was going on campus. And it lasted about 2 weeks, and it was in the news. The media was there. It was all over the news. People were coming from all over the world to visit this revival that was going on at Asbury College. And one of the things that really captured people's attention is it didn't make sense. These people were giving up eating, were giving up sleeping, were giving up their normal activities. They were giving it up for something for the Lord. And because it was such an illogical thing, the consensus that most people had about it is the Lord must be doing something here. What would make these college kids at start, and then it became all different people, what would get these college kids to do this? Why would they do this? It had to be a supernatural intervention from the outside by the Lord. It had to be. That's the only thing that makes sense. And even news outlets that wouldn't necessarily give any credit to the Lord for anything had to admit that this seemed to be something that the Lord was doing. And when people turn their lives over to the Lord, one of the things that the people on the outside, they can't help but notice is something's going on here. There has to be something going on. The Lord must be working. And that's why in this moment, as we're talking about this whole call to turn to the Lord, I want to challenge you, I want you to be encouraged to think that the reason that God may be calling you, and the reason that the Lord may be drawing you into a relationship with Him, a closer walk with Him, is because He wants the world to know that He's working. He wants the world to know that He is moving and He's changing lives. So as we're wrapping it up here, I just want to remind you of the three ways in which the Lord Joel has called us. He said, he tells these people to turn to the Lord, but turn to the Lord together. It's important to do it around other people. It's an important aspect. It's just the way that we're made. Then he called them to turn to the Lord being timeless. Don't wait for a certain time of your life. Don't wait for a certain age. It's something you can do anytime, no matter what your age. And the last thing to encourage them is to turn to the Lord as a testimony to the people around you. Before I, after I graduated from Moody, I worked for several years in student ministry. And it was back in the 80s and the 90s. And during that time period, summer camps were all the rage. Taking youth group kids to summer camp was like, you had to do it. And the reason was, is because a lot of these kids, middle schoolers and high schoolers, they would get away to this camp experience. They would be away from their friends, be away from their influences, be away from a lot of those things. They would just hear about Jesus. And they'd be surrounded by people that were telling them and encouraging them to make spiritual decisions. And many of them did. You know, and from my, in a very naive sense, I loved being a part of it. I wanted to be there with them when they were making these decisions to make changes in their life. I loved it. It was great. It was a spiritual high, not only for them, but for me. And then I'd bring these guys back home, these kids back home, and we'd kind of get back into life. And within a few weeks, we're running back the normal way. So then we all, not me personally, but all of us youth pastors, we had a bright idea. Winter retreat. That'll do it. So we thought, well, man, if we just get them out of their comfort zones for 2 weeks out of the year, maybe we can pull it off. So we, you know, winter retreats, and we did that. And it was great. The kids got away, and they did all this fun stuff. And they were, oh, yeah, they got really excited. And then they came back. And a couple weeks later, everything's back to normal. And so what we all kind of started to figure out is, yeah, I mean, that's good. Summer camp is good, and winter camp is good. But the reality is what these kids need is an every week time where they're getting challenged and encouraged. And so a lot of us, myself included, we started pouring our energy into the weekly get-togethers. Although not foolproof by any stretch of the imagination, it had more sticking power because it was a constant reminder of what the Lord was doing. It was a constant opportunity for them to be challenged spiritually. So instead of having these huge highs and then these huge lows, we're able to there's a little bit of continuity that was able to happen. And ultimately, that's what we want church to be. We want people from all walks of life to come into church and to hear the good news that all of the things that they're doing, all of the things that they're pursuing, all of the emptiness that they feel isn't how the Lord wants them to live. The Lord wants them to be in an intimate relationship with Him every single day. And they go up out of here, and they come back next week, and we another hack away at it. We go off back and forth. That's really ultimately what we're hoping for Sunday morning to be. At the end of the service, just about for a year and a half, without fail, I've always told you, if you need someone to pray with you, if you need someone to talk to after the service, please come forward and we'll make sure that there's someone up here. And I think the challenge for me and the challenge for us is how do we make that moment something more important? How do we make that moment something that is attractive to people? And I think ultimately what's helpful is to understand that when someone is turning back from the Lord, turning back to the Lord, it needs to be within the confines of a togetherness. It's helpful. It's helpful if we do it that way. It's helpful if we understand that turning back to the Lord is good when you understand it's something that's timeless, it's ageless, it's not a specific time in life. And it's helpful if we understand that it's a testimony to the world outside. Bow with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to come into your house. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be challenged, to think about how we pursue a relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to help us see that it makes sense the way that you've created us and the way that you've design the church, that returning to you or turning to you is something that's good to happen within the confines and in the body of the church. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. This point in the service, we take an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you didn't receive one of these cups on your way in, just raise your hand. We'll make sure that someone gets one of those to you. What this is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did for us on the cross, and we call it the Lord's table. And the reason is because it's not our table. It's not a table only for people who go to this church. It's open to anyone. If you have an intimate relationship with the Lord because of what Christ did for you, this is open for you to be partake in, to be a part of. If you are not in a right relationship with the Lord, if your relationship with the Lord is strained right now, this isn't going to make any sense. So it's probably best if you let this time pass. But there's two parts. We take the bread together and we take the cup together. And the idea behind that is we're remembering with the bread the body that Christ was willing to sacrifice on the cross. And then the juice is a remembrance of the blood that Jesus was willing to sacrifice on the cross. And what that is what Jesus did for us made it possible for us to have an intimate relationship with God. We couldn't have that on our own. It's only because of what Christ did. And this is a time for us to remember what Jesus did for us. If you take off the top plastic piece and reveal the white wafer, we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Well, if you have a little trouble getting it off like I do, it's okay. He said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's stand and sing once more before we leave this morning.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
If you need someone to talk to after the service, or if you'd like someone to pray with you, feel free to come forward after that. There'll be plenty of people up here who'd love to pray with you and talk to you about your relationship with the Lord and where you're at. Now all glory to God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.